This is Deborah from learnwithplayathome.com, and you're listening to Raising Playful Tots.
Thank you for joining me for another episode of Raising Playful Tots. I'm glad that you could stop by today. My name is Melitza. Welcome to the Play Space. It's here that we focus on play that we want to see and experience in our homes. We cover play-related topics to inspire, teach, challenge, and lead us to have a great time with these kids. Also, so that we can introduce a new play idea. If you're new to the show, welcome. And hi to the regular playmates. Plenty of room, so come join us as we play with paper and make paper mache bowls, thanks to a fantastic idea by Lessons Learned Journal. Last week's show, I shared the second part of this three-part series on crafting your simple holiday season. So if you missed that one, pop on over to the blog where you can listen to that show and find the archive of all the shows at raisingplayfultots.com/shows. This week's show, we're starting the conversation and talking about gifts, toys and budgets in this final part of the series. I'll be right back after this quick break. You can listen to Raising Playful Tots while you're on the move by choosing Stitcher. Stitcher is a free app available for your smartphone. Downloading this app is really quick and easy. Enter Tots, that's T-O-T-S, during registration to be entered to win in their monthly draw. Then you'll receive the latest episode right there waiting for you of Raising Playful Tots. Not just that, but you can discover hundreds of other popular new shows. You can find all of this by visiting stitcher.com/tots. That's stitcher.com/tots. We're in the final and third part of this three-part series, Crafting Your Simple Family Season. I'm really glad that you are here today. If you've missed the first two parts in the series, don't worry, we have links in the show notes at raisingplayfultots.com/150, for you to be able to go back and be able to listen to each of those episodes. In part one, we talked about what we'd like to have as our perfect but realistic holiday season. Not the Better Homes and Gardens edition, but your Family Building Memories edition. And we looked at what's been going on and our reality of stress, obligations, tiredness and grumpiness, all with a sprinkling of joy. There were lots of questions and a free download to help you get from what you'd like to have to being able to actually have it and craft your own realistic holiday season. Then we followed with part two, where we touched on the huge area of holiday traditions. You remember the things that you did when you were growing up, or the things that you wish that you did. The cute ideas that you've seen wrapped up in there is often a whole load of guilt of things I should have done more of, things I wish I'd done more of, things I should do more of. Here is where, in this part, where we looked at some traditions that don't add stress to this time that we're already in. For those of you that didn't have a tradition, I hope that that show gave you lots of different ideas for you to try some new traditions. For those of you that have traditions already, you might have decided to switch some up and try something new. As your family's been growing and getting older, there'll be different traditions that you want to have, and I hope that that gave you a few ideas for you to try. And for those of you that have been procrastinating and knowing that you wanted to start a tradition, you've wanted to have a special rhythm for the holiday, but you haven't done it for all sorts of reasons, I hope that you have found one or two that you might want to try out. We're now down to the third and final part. And the whole purpose of this series is to spend the time to craft a simple family season. Financially, there's a squeeze around this time, and many families budget all year round for the holiday season. But there's also many who can't or don't, and they find themselves at this time of year with a lot of things to do, and the stress already starts building. So this is the whole purpose of this series, is for us to be able to pause and make some deliberate choices in the direction that we want to go in. As my parents would say, you have to cut your cloth to what you've got. And we're doing this by designing our own very simple family season, our family season and our holiday season. Now we're on to the very last things, the three thorny things that I think are the thorny issues when it comes to creating and crafting a lovely holiday season, and that's gifts, toys, and budgets. Let's start with gifts. It's a tough one. Once you tally up what you'd like to get for each child, you can easily find that you're into the double figures. Is that bad? How many toys and gifts should a child have during the holiday season? In our family, we've always had big discussions about gifts. I'm not big on gifts at all, and my husband is. So holiday time, he wants to show his love through gifts. I'd rather have time and do other things. So we've had to find a way that works, because we share our love in different ways, and the kids also receive and share their love in both our ways. It's really a tricky thing. Gifts in my husband's way, or time in my way. Well, I know that just looking at the way my kids are, some of my kids appreciate gifts and some of my kids appreciate time. And so it's no good if we just spend all the time and don't get very many gifts. And it's no good if we get lots of gifts and don't spend very much time. And I know that I'm not alone. We have to find what works for each of our families. And that can be a really tricky thing. Then we start thinking about how many toys, because this is really tricky. How many toys makes for a good holiday season? Children will have a different idea. We as parents might have a different idea. The family might have a different idea. Then you've got to think of not just the gifts that we've tallied up that we want, but the gifts that come in from family and friends, and then all of the miscellaneous places where gifts come from, things like clubs and church parties and other places where other people shower our children with gifts too. And it can get too much. Well, the good news is we can solve the huge present pile dilemma really easily. And I've heard it called lots of different things, but basically it's the four gift rule of gift giving, which is something to do with the three wise men. Not quite sure how that all works out. Maybe somebody can let me know what the link is between the four gift giving rule and the three wise men. I think I have an idea, but I'm not quite sure. This is what it looks like, that you select one thing that they want, one thing that they need, one thing that they wear, and one thing that they read. It's a nice rhyme. Want, need, wear, read. Four items and that's it. You restrict it to just those four things that you want for each child. It's kind of clever. I've seen it around for a couple of years now, and lots of people are adopting it, especially if you come from a large family where you've started to notice that the children are getting too many gifts, or you want to make a difference when it comes to how you celebrate the holiday season. Maybe you've decided that, well, last year we got too many, they're not playing with so many, I want to keep it simple this year, I want to do differently. Maybe you've decided you want a change and you want to take back control and not spend as much money, or you just decide that you don't want the children to have as many gifts as they did the last year or the last time. This is a really simple way of doing it. Something that they want, something that they need, something that they will wear, and something that they will read. Really simple, and it slows down all of the buying of all of the other gifts that are there. So that's just something I wanted to share with you. With gifts, we want to try and keep it simple. that's really difficult because at this time of year we're marketed to a lot with lots of things that we want to do, and they all look wonderful, don't they? It's really difficult, but if you keep in mind that you want to keep it simple, then you can start to make decisions about what you really want. Another practical way is to have practical gifts, gifts that the children will be able to use a lot of. Now, in our home, we love sellotape, tape of any type. We go through so much tape, and that stick glue that you use, lots and lots of that. And so having their own one of those is brilliant. I love using post-it notes, and the children love using my post-it notes when they come and sit at my desk. Drives me balmy, because when I want to find my little stack of post-it notes, they're gone, because they love to just draw on them, stick them everywhere, and they use them like I do. So the holiday season is a great time for me to buy them their own post-it notes. Post-it notes come in lovely different sizes and shapes and colours these days, so just getting them a few packets of those will light up their world, and they really get to be excited about it. It doesn't matter what age they're at, they really like the post-it notes. As with everything, they always like what we have, right? So we have tape, we have really practical gifts. Sometimes we've given pencils. It really seems funny because we might think, well, we can get these things every day, they're everyday things, but at holiday times you can get holiday versions of these items that are special, that the children love, and the children just love to have their own personal set, and knowing that it comes is its own reward. Every year that they know that they will always get a special roll of tape and it will be theirs. Every year they'll get a certain post-it notes section and it will be theirs. The last few years I've managed to get post-it notes at the initial of each of the children, so they've had their own post-it note with their letter on, so that's been really easy to spot who's the prolific drawer around the house. Also, other practical gifts that they might want to get every year to grow a collection. So maybe you have pajamas. Some families, they'll all buy a set of pajamas that everybody has, and it's their Christmas pajamas or their Thanksgiving pajamas, and every year they'll get it and they'll wear it at a certain time. Or special socks, or a special ugly Christmas sweater, or something that they get that's special that everybody gets. You can grow your own collection and start collecting a certain Christmas book or Thanksgiving books or magazines or ornaments or things that you buy one thing of each year. So when you're getting these gifts, it doesn't mean that you have to go big and large. You could buy one special thing that's for the house or for the family, and that goes with you throughout the years. We also do special food items, items that we don't usually get. They are fun things to do, something a little different for your gift giving. We like mini cereal boxes because usually they're too expensive to get, and they're not enough for you to fill up and have a proper breakfast with them, but they make excellent special holiday snacks. And we also do traditional fruits like tangerines and clementines, and these types of things tend to go into our stockings and around that. But then again, we just want to keep it simple and keep the gifts to be simple too. Christmas and birthdays used to be the time of year that you got the big presents. It was usually at that time that you got most of your presents. During the year, you hardly got anything. I know, school supplies, that type of thing. But this year, all year round, it feels as if we are constantly having to buy things and do things with our children. And so you can change the focus of that if you wanted to, and decide that at these gift-giving times that you spend a lot of time, effort, energy and money at that time, but then during the rest of the year you don't get as many. That works for some families. Some families find that it's better to just spread out the amount of toys that they get during the year and gifts, so that the children have a chance to be able to appreciate the different things that come along. Gifts and gift giving is something that you start to find what really fits for your family as you try different things out. If you find that too many gifts all at once, the kids aren't grateful, they're not understanding what it's about, maybe you want to switch it up to having staggered gifts throughout the year. One of the gifts that we don't always think about at this time of year is the non-tangible gifts. At the moment, there's a big emphasis on spending money and buying more things and getting more things. And I want us to think a little bit about doing more things. We're raising Playful Tots, and that doesn't mean that we just accumulate stuff. We want to be able to navigate our homes and enjoy our homes, but also to be able to nurture our children and be able to spend time with them. So I'd like to suggest a gift of time and attention. We talked about that when we were crafting our perfect season, a holiday season, back in part one. And I just want to remind us of it here, that we want the gift of time and attention so that we can complete the traditions that we'd like to, that we talked about in part two. We've given ourselves plenty of space and opportunity to be able to do that. That we've got time to develop the ideas that we want to around our holiday season, and that we can slow down. Slow down and do what we want to during the holiday season. It may mean our holiday season is that we don't do very much, we don't go very far, we don't buy too much. All of those things are really important to do if you give yourself enough time and attention to do it. The next gift I wanted to share was the gift of the three P's, and I wrote a post about that, and it's called The Gift of the Three P's: pausing, protecting, and providing time. And I'll leave a link for that in the show notes so that you can find out more about that. There was also an excellent article over at simplemum.net, and they talked about there the gift of the five D's, which is do, diminish, delegate, defer, and delete. And that's all about making a purposeful and peaceful holiday season. So we've got two articles there that can also help you focus on gifts in slightly a different way than we've talked about before. So we talked a little bit about gifts. Now I want to move on to toys. What did you get by way of toys for the children last year? If you think about each individual child and you pause for a moment and think, what did I buy for them last year? And did they play with it? Can you list them all out? And can you think of how they've played with it during the year? These are tough questions. When I look at the toys that we bought for the kids last year, some of them are broken, they don't exist anymore, they got thrown away, they weren't really interested in it, some of them have been donated. Some of them really didn't work out as I thought that they would. And it's really interesting when you look back at what they're doing then and what they're doing now, how sometimes even their choices have changed. Gift guides really help with supporting your decisions that you have, but it's also really tricky because if you look at something, then you really want to have it. So I've got a few gift guides that I would like to recommend for you that fit within what we talk about here of raising a playful tot, that they can play really well, and it's not just about marketing and giving them something that will keep them quiet, but it's about engaging their senses, it's about awe and wonder, it's about independent play, it's about all of those things. And I've got two gift guides that I'd like to recommend for you today. The first gift guide is by Modern Parents Messy Kids. Now last year they had a gift guide of seven different ones, and I'm just going to list really quickly what those seven different ones were. They had something for little builders and innovators, dramatic play, indoor and outdoor toys for the young, active, bouncing off the walls little go-getter, the top 19 toys for your little doll lover, 19 gifts for your little vehicle lover, 27 top tips for the little artists and creators, top tips for your stargazing, backyard exploring little adventurer. Now this year they have got a new guide that's come out which I absolutely love. It's called Quiet Time and Independent Play. You know, I've talked before about independent play here on the show, and you can go back into the archives and look and see that. We talk a lot about it, and I give a shout out for independent play on our Facebook page regularly, at least once a month, because independent play is so needed, as well as connection time as well. But independent play is one of those things that we sometimes forget to remind our children that they need to do, or remind ourselves. So this year, they have at least, I think it's 8 guys that are coming out. And at the time of this show, when it was recorded, just the first one had come out, The Quiet Time and Independent Play. And I'll leave a link for that in the show notes. But if you go over to modernparentsmessykids.com, then you look at her, the gift guide that she has there. It's fantastic. Lots of pictures, information about each of the activities. It gives you a good place as a starting point for toys that really fit with the way of thinking that you have. The second gift guide that I would like to do was done a few years ago, and they've not updated it recently, but what they show holds true. It's by truceteachers.org, and that's T-R-U-C-E, truce. teachers.org, and they have a toy selection guide that's really helpful, really something that I've always suggested to new and young parents who have newborns and young children under the age of, I don't know, 2 or 3, I guess, because at this stage we are bombarded with so many different choices. But if you want to get back to the basics and you want to know the fundamentals, the really good toys and how to choose a toy, what makes a good toy, how we can support our children in play, in really good play that's not about marketing, then this is a really good place to start. They talk a lot about toys of value, toys that give value and are valuable, and they talk about toys and trends to avoid. Now, it's not prescriptive. They just give you some ideas, because obviously there are lots and lots of toys that there can be about. But it gives you some ideas of what there's about, and it gives you a basis for choosing the toys that you would like to have in your home. Also in there, they talk about the Toady Awards, and if you've not heard of the Toady Awards, then you really should go and have a look out for them. I like to talk about the CCFC, and I've mentioned them a few times. We've done a show with Josh Golin as well from the Campaign for a Commercial-Free Childhood. They have a Toady Award, which Toady stands for Toys Oppressive and Destructive to Young Children. And they highlight toys that are on the market that they feel that support oppressive and destructive behaviours in young children. And it's really interesting and a different perspective to have a look at. So I would really encourage you to have a look at the Toady Awards. They're quite interesting when you look at that perspective of the way toys are marketed towards us and what their end purpose can be. I would like to also encourage you, when you're looking at toys, to focus on finding toys that are soft and natural, and to complement the toys that you already have. Felt toys are amazing, and there are so many lovely felt toys that you can find in selections on places like Etsy, as well as in our usual online shops and local shops. It's a loose part, and it's one good thing about this particular loose part we've felt, that even if there's lots of them around, they don't roll all over the place and get stuck up in the Hoover and underneath things in the same way. You can find them and you can gather them together. And the softness of the felt sets that you can get, the games and the activities that you can play with them are just huge. They're very portable. It's harder to lose all the pieces because, like I said, they don't roll away. You've got them all together. And so choosing toys that have different sensory experiences really help. I'm sure if you looked at your pile of toys that you have for your kids, you would hope to see that there'd be soft, hard, cold, warm, prickly, all different textures, because that's what entices and encourages our children. Natural toys also complement the ones that we have as well. Now, of course, natural toys can be a lot more expensive in some cases, especially if we're not practical ourselves to be able to make them. But this is a really good time to be able to get one or two choice pieces, things that are special and important for us. And so I absolutely love the Birchmobile. a handmade car, which is about 3 inches by 2 inches. And for the little ones that absolutely love vehicles, then I think that they would absolutely love a handmade car. And I'll leave a link for that in the show notes, but you need to check out Vermont Branch Company if you want to see that. The felt toys that I was talking about, if you go to Etsy and look out for Fee Vertilane, and I'll also leave a link for that in the show notes. And children love to play with them, and they're simple because they've got creative play written all over them. It's two little parents, one tiny baby in a blanket, and a house that's made out of felt. And you can put the family inside and you can act out lots of different scenes. And because it's felt, you can put it all together and you can take it with you. So you could take it when you're out and about and they can play with it wherever it is. And the house is about 5.5 inches and the parent is about 3 inches and the baby is about 1 inch in height. So we do have to be careful because it is small pieces and you don't want there to be a problem with that. We can also talk a little bit about making your own toys. It's something that lots of us might feel a bit scared about, but I was looking at making your own dolls recently, and I found Beneath the Rowan Tree, and she has a resource guide there on making and building your own Waldorf doll. Now, as you know, making your own doll can be really expensive with buying all of the different parts, and it can be a real labor of love, but you don't have to make everything from scratch. She has a brilliant resource guide there of how you can make a doll completely from scratch, everything, all the way through to when you have parts that are already made and you assemble them yourself and you add all the pieces and make up your own doll, almost like a Build-A-Bear, but build a doll in your own home. And that's great. And so if you wanted something special, that you can do so. Don't forget, there are lots of DIY shops where all of the parts are already there and they can ship them to you, and then you can assemble and build them together with your family. So the making of your own toys is a fun, albeit expensive sometimes, activity. It can be one of those lasting traditions that you can really enjoy doing. And the final thing I wanted to talk to you about today was budgets. If you have extended family, now is the time to be talking about special gifts and buying special gifts. If you are thinking of a certain type of doll, for example, when the extended family buys that particular doll, they might all club together and get it, or they might buy the doll clothes that go with it and all the accessories and things that go with it. The same, I think, about other purchases like trains and train sets, that these are presents that can be built on year, and that although they are big items and expensive items, over time, as family members contribute to it, it works. It reminds me a lot of when people got married and they used to buy dinner services, that buying a dinner service by itself is really expensive, but when you put it on your wedding list, then everybody buys a small piece, you manage to get this big, huge collection, and it's really cool because you didn't have to buy all of the pieces. So that's just another way that we can keep our budgets down low, but be able to buy some of these amazing things. When you see some of these doll stations, some of these parts are really expensive, but if you get them slowly and over time, it can be really cool. Each year that they can add to their collection. Another thing for budgeting and consideration for extended family to buy things is museum passes. Often there are places in your local area that you would love to have an annual pass for. And when you cost it all out, you realize that there are 5 or 6 places and two or three children that you'd like to go to. It could cost an arm and a leg to go to all of these places. But to think that aunts and uncles and grandparents could help to support getting those types of presents, this is another way that they can give without accumulating more stuff inside of your home. It's also good if you have family that live overseas or in different places, because they can send the gift without it costing all the postage and packaging. And what better thing to have than each time you visit the museum or the special place that needs an annual pass, that you'll be able to remind them that this is the gift thanks to grandma, granddad, aunt, uncle, friend. Another thing that we can do that we have trouble with at this time of year is compiling a list so that when family are deciding what presents, the presents that they decide matches the presents that you would love to see coming into your home. Now, I know this is really tricky, and that's why we have the toy challenge that we have that you can try. I have a special 10-day toy challenge that I'll leave a link for in the show notes that walks you through how you can reduce the overwhelm that you have with toys, which is especially good at this time of year. Help you have a bit of a clear out before you start accumulating more. But the biggest problem many families have is that they have very clear instructions and with their partner about what they want to come into the house, but family just don't know. Or sometimes they don't care, and sometimes they're just not sure what else to do because we don't share with them the ideas. So something that I've been using for a few years now that really helps, not just with this situation, but just in general, is Amazon Wishlist. Now, Amazon has a little bookmarklet that you can keep on the top of your browser. And as you're browsing, not just on Amazon, I just wanted to make that really clear, but anywhere on the web, you can click the little bookmarklet and it will bookmark the item that you like. And you can keep it in a special list for either each child or for the children. It's really cool because you actually start to accumulate as you're going through the year things that you think that your children will like and things that you know that your children will like. And at this time of year, for gift giving times like birthdays and Christmas and the other seasons where you're giving special gifts, you can share this list with friends and family that want to give gifts, and they've got some idea of the type of thing that you're looking for. It really gives, it's really handy for that type of thing. So I would really encourage you to check out the Amazon Wishlist, the little button that you can have in your browser that you can click and it will save it to one particular area. Another handy thing when you're looking at budgets is setting a limit per child of presents and how you'll spend the money that you have for them. It's a bit like going food shopping. If you don't list it, you have a huge trolley of things. I mean, it's just terrible if you don't write a shopping list, especially if you're hungry. You see all these things and they go in the trolley. It's absolutely the same. Even if you're shopping online or when you go into a toy shop, there will be tons of things that you see. Oh, they would just really like it if they could have that. Waste is a really big problem in many of our households, not just food waste, but toy waste. We've got broken toys, loose parts that now don't work because they've been lost from the other parts, children that don't look after things, things that are shoved into areas and stuffed into places. We're just overwhelmed with so much stuff. We really do need to get back to cherishing the toys that we have and not having this huge, huge pile of toys that if we heaped up all our toys, we couldn't really see them all. Reducing the visualness of how many toys that we can see when we're out. A visual sea of toys can be really hard for children to understand the value that they have within that toy. So if we set a realistic budget for our holiday gifts and limit the amount per child of how many presents we'll have and how much we'll be able to spend, it will be much better for all of us. So there you have it. We've gone through part 1, 2, and 3, all about crafting your simple holiday season. What are you doing this year to have a simple holiday season that nurtures your family? How are you keeping the stress down and the peace and the peacefulness up? This third part, we've talked about gifts and toys and budget and what happens in your home. We've just started to have the conversation, and I hope that you'll go home and you'll start having this conversation with those that are nearest and dearest to you too. I hope you have a sparkly, shiny and purposeful holiday season, season that you really want. For more resources on crafting your holiday season, I have a few shows to share where I've interviewed guests all about how they keep their holiday season simple and meaningful. The first one is Keeping Christmas Simple and Meaningful with Stephanie Langford of Keeper of the Home. If you go to raisingplayfultots.com/127, that's a number, 127, then you'll hear that show. We also had one with Christmas traditions and activities with Catherine of Squiggle Mum, and that's raisingplayfultots.com/777. I have many other shows that talk about keeping the holiday time simple and meaningful with other guests that have got lots of ideas of what they have done and how they have tried it. Check out the Pinterest board with blog posts from other people, play activities, thoughts, handmade stuff that you can make, ideas for Thanksgiving, ideas for the Christmas season, ideas for keeping it real and stress-free. You can check out the board at pinterest.com/Melitza/Christmas holiday play activities. And I'll leave a link to that in the show notes. As I've said before, all of the links can be found at Raising Playful Tots, show number 150. So don't worry if you're working out and you're running or you're folding laundry or whatever you're doing at the moment and you haven't been able to get to the links that we've talked about or you want to find out more. Don't worry. Once you get to a computer or to your phone, then if you click in raisingplayfultots.com/150, it will take you straight to the show notes where you'll be able to find all the links and be able to be good to go. Well, thanks for sharing your time today and listening to the show. If you found value and would like to give back, please help spread the word by telling your friends. Leave a review for us on iTunes, and you can do that by going to raisingplayfultots.com/iTunes page, and that will take you straight there to iTunes. iTunes is where you can sign up to receive the shows for free each week. Another place you can go to is Stitcher, as you heard earlier in the show, and you can give a thumbs up there for Stitcher or any of your podcast mobile apps that you use. You can find us on Pinterest, where we're pinning play activities and intentional journeys into play. And you can also like us on Facebook, and it's really good to have conversations over there with you. And there's a few regulars that I get to see all the time who like to chat about play and share what they're doing over there. It's so cool to read your reviews. I just checked and was blown away to see that this show is downloaded in more than 130 different countries. How cool is that? If you have questions and comments about raising a playful tot or future show ideas, use the SpeakPipe link where you can leave a voicemail if you would like to at raisingplayfultots.com/feedback. Or you can go to the site and leave feedback anytime that you want, or email me through the contact form or reply to the newsletter. I absolutely love doing this show and learning, just like you are, one step at a time through talking to different people about how they are raising a playful tot. I would love to get answers for you so we can all continue to raise these playful tots of ours. You can also sign up for the Raising Playful Tots note to keep up with what's going on with new projects and discounts, simple parenting prompts and play. And this is where we get to chat in our newsletter, and you can do that at raisingplayfultots.com/subscribe. You've been listening to show number 150. Come over and play next week. Until then, find time for some unplugged play. Join with me each week as we share, learn, and laugh together about making the most of early childhood playtime. Goodbye.